We wanted to talk more about the political culture in South Carolina, so we've called Barbara Zia. She is the president of the League of Women Voters of South Carolina. That's a nonpartisan political organization. Many people will associate them, of course, with hosting presidential debates and debates at other levels. And, of course, they stand for good government and voter education. She's with us now from South Carolina. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what is your assessment of what happened here?
Well, the League in South Carolina is very concerned about the allegations of election irregularities and disputed elections and some of the nasty campaign tactics that have been in play in the Republican gubernatorial primary race. Our concern is that that these activities are going to hurt the democratic processes in the state. And it takes attention away from what really matters to voters, like good-paying jobs and quality education for their children, clean air and water. And in the end, I think the worst case for the League of Women Voters, which is a strong advocate of informed and engaged citizens, is that voters may be discouraged about government effectiveness and the importance of voting.
Now, you heard Congressman Clyburn reference a sort of a past history of nastiness and political trickery in South Carolina, certainly not limited to South Carolina, but the specific example he cited was Senator John McCain, when he ran for president in 2000, was the subject of the target of a whispering campaign suggesting that he had fathered an out-of-wedlock black child. And of course, as I think most people now know, he has an adopted child who is of color. And this was very disturbing to him and to a lot of other people. But do you believe that this is sort of indicative of, is there a culture of anything goes in South Carolina politics?
Well, as you said, it goes on everywhere, unfortunately, the smear campaigns and disputed elections. But South Carolina has been unfortunate to have a recent spate of incidents. The past year has been pretty rough. I think it may come down to some political operatives who use win at any cost strategies.
What do you think should happen now? Do you have an opinion about this? And more broadly, do you think that there are other changes that might be needed in the way campaigns are run in South Carolina that could possibly be enforced either by the parties or by the government to forestall something like this?
Sure. We have confidence in election officials that they are going to investigate the allegations and that in the end, they're going to be able to restore confidence in the integrity of our state's voting system. I think, behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. Hopefully, this experience in the 2010 election is going to offer an opportunity for South Carolina citizens to really examine closely how democracy is working here and how we can make it better. And then not just in South Carolina, but nationally, I'll call attention to the need for restoring civility in our public discourse and rebuilding public trust.
And very briefly, Barbara, if I may ask you, is there any way in which Alvin Green's election or success in the primary is indicative of something positive, that really anybody can run for office, throw his or her hat in the ring and make a go of it? Is there anything positive about it?
Yes. He did follow state election law. He sent in his filing fee to the state Democratic Party.
I'm sorry we didn't have time for you to finish your answer. Barbara Zia is the president of the League of Women Voters of South Carolina. That's a nonpartisan organization that promotes voter education and participation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Just ahead, Lucille O'Neill, the author of Walk Like You Have Somewhere to Go, is best known for her ties to a certain very tall, very big basketball player. But there's much more to her than that.
When people say, hello, Shaq's mom. I said, well, I'm not only Shaq's mom, but I'm Latifah, Aisha, Jamal's mom. And then I even mentioned my 14 grandchildren.
We'll hear more of her story next on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.